Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 53 for Friday, April 24th, 2015.
Fresh from their fat bike surf and safari, it's my pleasure to introduce the hosts of Weekly Dose of Fat, Cali Fresh Sven, and organically grown Gnomeds.
Welcome, Earthlings.
Hey, it's Earth Day here on Earth. We'd like to give a happy Earth Day to all the inhabitants of Earth. All you kids out there, all you moms, dads, all you humanoids, all you
whales,
bipeds.
Save the whales, save the snakes.
And we'd like to start the show with a little number by David Bowie. Ground control to Manchester.
Commencing countdown, here's JK.
Welcome home, you weary travelers.
Yeah, it's pretty good to be back. California, though, pretty sweet. Did you know that the Weekly Dose of Fat is sponsored by Surly Bikes?
Surly pioneered the plus side bike joint. Check out the true instigator of fat back fun at surlybikes.com.
Not Major Tom.
So, what's happening on the show this week, JK?
On deck, we have special guest Tom McDonald. We delve into beards and beer. We continue to probe the weekly dose of web-footed weasels, and of course, we lay down a thick layer of links from that there interwebs.
You know, we didn't see any live sea otters, but I did see a dude walking around in a giant otter costume, you know, plushy costume. So it's a good thing we didn't bring JK with us, because...
I'm a furry lover.
I saw a seal.
Oh, yeah. We saw a couple of dead seals. It was, like, weird. They ate the seal's skull out.
I saw an alive seal.
You saw a live... Oh, well, you saw a live seal, but he was trapped up against a breakwater or something.
Poor guy. Yeah, I felt bad for him. But what do we got going on with beer and beards this week?
Well, the beer, I stopped...
It's being run for.
And I got, run for the beer, JK.
I got some Hofbrauhaus, because we actually have a Hofbrau beer... Schnoogle here right at our beer hall, right?
Right.
Right in Milwaukee, right beer downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, beer Schnoogle. Yes, we do have beer Schnoogles here in Milwaukee.
And I've been there. And, you know, it's kind of cool that you guys are kind of more, you know, plugged into the Milwaukee scene. I said, yeah, I was there late one night and there was a one-man band rocking... Flaming, what is it?
The Blister in the Sun.
Blister in the Sun, yeah.
From your violent females.
Right, from the violent femmes. And you guys were like, oh, that's probably that dude.
Probably.
That's Sigmund.
Sigmund Snowpack the Third.
Yes, recently inducted into the Whammy Hall of Fame.
Right on.
This past week.
This is delicious. I drank it before we toasted. Here, cheers, boys.
How's the Dunkel Lager?
Hofbrau.
Dunkel.
Dunker. So this is that means dark dunkel, and it's sweet and it's got brown sugary and it's just like kissing a Mexican girl.
It's good stuff. Different after having a Sculpin Fluffer.
Yep.
Yeah, we had a pretty kick-ass. I went beer shopping, and I picked up some Ballast Point Sculpin for our Fluffer beer, which gets like 112 rating from Beer Advocate. Graded on a curve, of course, you know, depending on the flavor of the moon and whatnot. But we have 5.5 ABV here. It's 85 Beer Advocate rating, 86 beer score, or bro score, because those guys, the bros know what it's about. It's worth that extra 1 point.
Very good, bros.
And this would be a beer that I would basically take a bath in.
I'm glad unless you're taking a bath in my mouth, I don't think we have enough beer.
You're like,
future band name, band in my bath in my mouth.
So the beard segment, has the beard segment run its course? Are we still passionate about our facial hair. Actually,
I'm passionate about kind of restarting.
Yeah.
Because that means it'll be a little nicer out.
I want to keep a crew cut on my beard for a
while.
But
I'm not really not hating on the Fu Manchu flying.
But
because nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
That's the best part. It's like I'm at my own terms of getting rid of this or playing around.
Well, I thought the itchy phase was only when you were growing it out, but it turns out it's also when you're trimming it back. So you're going to let it get a little longer again and get past itch phase number one.
So I brought with me here some Cedar Hill Farms mustache wax.
Oh, Lord.
I've been following Sven's practice of not trimming the mustache, which means it's basically down to my waist now. Just kidding. But the mustache wax actually does help keep it out of the way.
Keeps it out of the eatery area here, right?
So does water.
So does what?
So does water.
So does what?
Water.
Are you harshing on
so would, I know. So would wind.
I just do.
And what's the story about having a burdock in your chew for a while? How long was that?
I don't know. It was about like a half hour.
Yeah.
Half hour of riding, though. I was kind of impressed by that. So apparently it was at the start of a ride, and then I put a burr in your mustache and you didn't notice. And
some clever people think of funny things.
Yeah. And then it was still there.
It's like
30-minute mark.
The old game we used to play in prison, hide the burr.
Lessons have to be learned.
Yep. And they will be learned whether people want to or not. Well.
Have you ever caught anything in your beards, Sven?
No, I don't. Well, maybe a little California dust and sand when we were out there at the old sea otter. But
so, like, all we are is dust in the wind?
All we are?
California dust?
All we are is
dust. Oh, that's Kansas dust.
We're just Dustin Hoffman.
California.
That was a Snowpeck tune. All we are is Dustin Hoffman. Everyone is Dustin Hoffman. Hey, I bet you guys didn't know that this week's Beards and Beer segment was sponsored by Uncle Dick's Bead Slip. We'll be giving away tins of Uncle Dick's to callers later in the show.
So call in. The number is 818-918-2453. That, I think the 2453 actually spells out bike.
Right.
That's
clever,
kind
right?
of the thing that we're into. We're into like bikes and stuff. But if you call in, we got like swag to give you and stuff. I know that we're extremely scary people, but call in. We're lonely.
Make sure it's Wednesday, 8 p.m. CST.
Please.
And
well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to blow it over
the tracks. We'll be right back with Tom McDonald after this from our sponsors.
One taste and you'll agree, you can't find a more fresh, flavorful, first quality product than Texas Pete Hot Sauce. Texas Pete makes history with every batch. Try mixing Texas Pete with melted butter as a dipping sauce for your next order of shrimp, and you'll agree, nothing wakes up food like Texas Pete. TexasPete.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Wayne Chapman from Dirtworks Australia. Purveyors of fine goods like salted bikes and nice bicycle toe parts. Well, I'm not molesting kangaroos. I always listen to FatBike.com.
Yeah, you're listening to the Weekly Dose of Fat with Sven and Gomez, and our faithful companion, the Fu Manchu'd Dancing Chimp.
Dancing Chimp.
JK Levin. Who don't need no stinking stool, because
you know how much work it would be to get off of a stool and do that?
Hey, please welcome to the radio program our longtime amigo, Tom McDonald.
It's great to talk to you guys. I enjoyed the beer segment, too. It's getting me thirsty.
Well, Tom, we always recommend that our guests, if you have access to a cold beer, it sure doesn't hurt to have one. Unless you're doing brain surgery or you're like a California Highway Patrolman on your Kawasaki 1000.
None of those apply to me, so that's okay.
Fantastic. Well, Tom is an incredible photographer and a fat bike adventurer from Southern California. You want to tell us about the trip you took last weekend to the Enzo Borrego Desert?
Yeah. A little trip out there last week.
Yeah, your audio just went all trippy on us, too.
That's cool.
That was freaky. Wow. So you guys, you did a solo
overnight, two nights? How long did you go out there?
It was just an overnight ride. Yeah, I've been riding out there for a couple years now, ever since I got the fat bike. It's a actually I started doing it to, you know, train for races and stuff, since it's real sandy and it's sort of like snow if you think about it. But the cool thing about it is you can go a lot of different places that I wouldn't even think about going with a normal mountain bike, that's for sure.
So, Tom, where is that located out there in California? Is that southern, northern, central?
Yeah, it's about 2 hours east of San Diego, basically. Basically, you go up over a mountain range and you drop down in there. It's kind of pretty much a wasteland, at least as far as most people think about it.
Oh, no way. It's a picture book of American deserts, right? It has desert flowers, and I saw a roadrunner there, dude.
Meep meep.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff out there. And honestly, before I started riding in there, I didn't know half of it existed. I think most people just go and look, and you know, because there's some paved roads that go through it, and you don't really see much. But as soon as you get off the roads, it's a totally different area.
I was actually in a rented Lincoln Town Car, raging down a gravel road with my two kids in the car when I saw that Roadrunner. So yeah, but I would do it all different if I were with you, Tom.
So Tom, how far are you from the Salton Sea when you're out there?
Actually, the Salton Sea is probably like maybe 20 miles or so. Or actually, one point of it is where Anzabrega kind of butts up right to it, so it's pretty close.
Gotcha. I've been throughout there. I just don't know what the actual landmarks or names of the places are, but it certainly seems like a great place to ride a fat bike.
It's awesome. It's really unique because it's not like you've there's not really any trails that you can go on. Some of them, the washes that you go up, the four-wheel drives don't even go up. So it's kind of like, the best I can describe it, it's kind of like going up a frozen river is how it feels. It's kind of weird.
Oh, crazy. Well, you sure do capture some incredible photos when you're out there. What was the area that you went? Because we're going to share with our readers and our listeners in our show notes the link to your blog. Can you tell us the area that you went to for this particular trip?
Oh, sure. Actually, the first day I rode out there is an area that's really close to Borrego Springs, which is pretty much the main town that's out there. And it's one of those places that I never knew that there are all these sand dunes out there, which is it's kind of strange when you come upon them because you don't really think of, personally, you can't see the dunes from anywhere, any of the vantage points, and then you just kind of ride into them. And it's kind of a unique experience, but it was it's near what they call the Borrego Badlands. There's some viewpoints that overlook this one area, which I didn't actually ride that one this time. I kind of was right down in the Badlands, which was kind of an interesting experience. So that was the first day. Mm-hmm. And then the cool thing about Borrego is you can, they have some rules about where you can camp, but you can pretty much camp anywhere you want to. So that, which is, and it's free, which is even better.
Sure.
But what I did is I went over to an area called Fish Creek Wash, which is, it's really spectacular when you enter into it, because there's you basically go right through a mountain range that the water has cut this huge canyon through, which you wouldn't even think that it exists out there. And you ride up the wash for maybe 20 miles or so, and then there's some other areas out there called the mud caves, which I didn't really go into the caves, but there are some slot canyons that it's a really cool area.
And is that where that the concretions come from? Are those cave flowstone formations?
Yeah, they're really interesting. I mean I'm not a geologist or anything, but they're when you look at them, you at first I thought some of them were petrified wood because they get cut in half, but I guess it's some sort of sedimentary rock formation. Because I think that whole area was once a seafloor, is what it was, and then it got uplifted by a few faults. First of all, petrified wood, and some of these areas that you find fossils out there. They found some really huge fossils of camels and horses and that sort of thing.
Cool,
really cool. You take some really beautiful shots when you're out there. When you're traveling on your fat bike, what sort of gear do you take for your camera equipment that you put together for those backcountry trips?
Yeah, I used a Panasonic LX5 that I picked up a few years ago, which for what I do, it does a great job. I've done some other trips. In fact, the first trip I ever took with a bike, I dragged along a DSLR and some lenses, and it just kind of crimped my style.
Sure, there's not much room on the bike, really. So that
no,
completely makes
and,
sense.
And a lot of the photos that I do take, I've taken. Not that I'm a big racer or anything, but I always take a camera along when I'm doing races. So it's just a heck of a lot easier for me to take along a point and shoot handheld. It just works a lot better.
Oh yeah. So tell us about the bags that you're using and maybe what kind of bike you're riding these days.
Yeah, actually, I've been riding a 907 for about 5 years now. I think I actually won the frame at the pre-race raffle for the Arrowhead 135
cool.
a few years ago. Yeah. Those guys, they have a lot of great support for the racers and stuff. I really love the bike too.
Yes, it's a great bike. Yeah, they make a great aluminum hardtail, and we like those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're cool dudes.
Yeah.
And
they do a great job.
What kind of bags are you using?
I pretty much everything is a Revelate designs. You know, depending on what I'm doing, for the winter stuff, I tend to use a seat bag for what I was doing on this ride in the desert. It was mostly it was just a frame bag from them also that's custom fit to that frame, but it was mainly just to carry water.
yeah water in those trips I'm sure is the limiter of where you can go, is just how much water you can get. I imagine that there might be opportunities where you could you could extend trips by cacheting water, et cetera, out there.
Yeah, and the way Borrego or Anza Borrego is, I've always wanted to do this ride, even though I've never had the chance to do it. But if you start at the north end of the park and drop right down in, it's you have maybe 40 miles or so before you hit places that you can actually get water again. So it's not too bad. As far as the water situation goes, but that's something I've always wanted to do. Maybe someday.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like an awesome trip.
Yeah.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. That bell brings us to the lightning round of the interview.
Hey, answer the following 5 questions. Muy repetente.
Yeah, we've got 5 questions for you, Tom. First question is tubes or tubeless?
Tubes.
Okay, second question. Velma or Daphne?
Daphne.
Oh, Daphne's a popular
answer. She's getting a lot of votes. Okay, flats or clipless?
Both.
All right. Favorite beer?
I've got my brother lives in Vermont, and I've got a connection for Heady Topper.
Wow, that's one I haven't had yet.
Oh.
And
it's worth the hype.
And our final question, what kind of toast would you like with that?
Whole wheat.
All right.
Very good.
Well, thanks for joining us on the show, Tom. We'll
I appreciate you having me on, guys.
Yeah, I've been a longtime fan of your photos and your adventures out there. It's crazy, man. You live in the what I consider the capital of IPAs. We just had Ballast Point Sculpin IPA as our fluffer beer
tonight.
That's
a good one, yeah. That is a good one.
And you go all the way to the other side of the country.
Yeah. Isn't that? We had another beer out there when we were in Monterey from down San Diego way, the 805.
What was the brewery?
Forgot the brewery. Damn it. But it was good stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a ride I'm doing this weekend that starts right at the Lost Abbey, which is another good one, which is right across the freeway from Stone. So you're right. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yep. Yeah, we had a Stone at one of our meals.
Sure.
Stone IPA.
We just got back from Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of people out there.
Yeah, so much good beer.
Very good. All right, Tom.
All right on, Tom. Thanks for joining us on the show. You keep it rocking.
Guys, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. We'll see ya.
All right, bye.
You are once again listening to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, quit playing with yourself.
It's the weekly dose of fat.
Welcome back to the radio program. Here's Sven with deep thoughts.
I'm smart enough. I'm tall enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. Oh, no, wait. That's a different. All right. So one thought I had was, what's up with wheel sizes?
Well, if I was a consumer right now, I would be like, well, F you guys. You know, what do you want? But here's...
you want my money.
Yeah. You know, why? Well, what? Why? Why? What is B plus? What is this? What is this thing? What is this mid fat? What is it going to do for me?
What's a six fatty? What is that?
Yeah. You know, I always want to say to you guys, we do not put a gun to your head to buy any of this stuff. We just keep you up with what the news is going on. And I think that on the other side of that, on the other side of what is this Japanese word kaizen, which means continuous improvement. This is what bikes are better today than they were 20 years ago.
True that.
They are better today than they were 10 years ago. So, and obviously in the fat bike segment, today bikes are better today than they were 5 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, sure. So that's kind of the why. Continuous improvement. Do you have to go out there and buy all of this new stuff? No. No, you do not. You know, you want to try it. You want to rent a bike. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to ease yourself into this stuff. Or just rock that old 26 single-speed rigid bike till it breaks. And then buy somebody else's used one that they've put aside because they have to buy all this crap.
We've got a buddy that keeps riding Zebra Kenkos, and he commutes to work on it. He just won't give them up. He keeps buying them. It's like, where did you find a Zebra Kenko again?
Because they're out there.
That's got 27-inch wheels.
They're out there in people's garages behind all of the different things that, because people tend to want to buy the newest thing. And now I have a Krampus, a 29-plus bike. Am I going to go out and buy a new 26 plus B plus hardtail with a fork? No, I am not. Mm. I am not. I might do some testing of some 26.5 tires on that Krampus. And
27.5.
Right. Sorry. 27.5.
Or B plus. Or 650D plus.
Double
or
B's.
Six fatties.
I've got double B's.
Well,
we're kind of a different story, though, because we get to try a lot of new stuff and we don't have to buy it. We just return it to the manufacturer and write a story about it. One of the things that I really am intrigued by the B plus size, it's the same diameter as a 29 tire with all the benefits of the width of the 29 plus tire. Sounds interesting to me.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were in California, it amazed me how fat bikes weren't even spotted on the beach. We did a beach ride, a nice long, several hour beach ride, and didn't see one fatty track. But I think what's going to make people look at the wider tires is that B plus 650 B plus size tire, 3-inch, 3.25, because I think it makes a lot more sense on the trails they have out there. And maybe that'll be the gateway drug to getting them into the big fatness.
Yeah. And I think that I'm really totally intrigued about the B2XL size that the Trek bike is using, that 27.5
B2XL.
That's okay. Right. B2XL. So a fat bike tire on a B plus rim.
Right. Which is a 4-inch.
Right.
27.5.
Right. We had pictures of the of the prototype tires on the site. That actually said prototype on them.
So now, what do we call the 26++ well over 5-inch tire that's coming from V-Tire? Because that thing was massive. 26 plus plus.
I don't know. Is there like a bit porn star that has, we'd call it the men.
The triple D.
The men dingo.
26D.
Yeah, 26 double D.
Double D. That thing was immense, and it's a real thing. It's coming.
It's a real thing, and we're going to get one, and we're going to try and stick it on the front of somebody's ice cream truck or Moonlander or on Otis, and we're going to see how that thing rolls.
Yep, it looks interesting.
Those madcap crazy people at V-Tire.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Welcome to Cats and Kitties, Fat Bike Radio. Who do we have on the line?
Who do you think just said?
Oh, Chewy!
Listen, don't sound so fucking excited.
I'm super surprised it's actually you.
You know, that's pretty good detective work on our part. We didn't actually have the number. We just had the area code, and we tracked you down. So there.
Yeah. I called earlier, but then the hockey game was on, so I'm like, to hell with you guys, I'm watch a hockey game. You know how it is.
Well, you know, driving in, I was thinking, you know who could really express the common man's reaction to all these new standards? It would be Chewy. B+, go.
Well, you already know what I think. First of all, you shouldn't be talking about them, because even cat bikes, 3.0 and lower, is not a fat bike. I don't care what anybody says.
But these are 3.0, but, bro.
And 3.25. And,
yeah.
Are they really? Yeah. Those bastards.
They're plus size. They're like chubby girls.
Here's what I think. I don't like it. However, here's why I don't like it. Because it does serve a purpose. It gives a small person on
tire. Uh-oh. You went all Monster Mash on us there.
Just wait. But here's the thing. Who gives a fuck about the short people? They shouldn't even be riding bikes anyway.
They should be used as lawn ornamentation.
Exactly. They should be wearing pointy hats and pointy shoes and being at Gnome Fest. Otherwise, they're not good for anything.
I'm with you there.
But otherwise, I don't like it.
I think most people think it's like the evil bike companies that are, they just want to, they just, it's a scam. It's just another reason for us to buy a new thing. I think that's what most people think.
I thought that's what breakable aluminum frames were for, so you could just go ahead and buy a new bike every 2 years.
I thought that's what aluminum and carbon fiber was for. Yeah.
See, that's why they made them, because the carbon people can't ride real big tires.
Oh. Well, there you go. What do you think about Trek? Here's a question for you that I posed to Greg, and Greg and I think are on both sides. I think a 27.5 2XL fat bike wheel, meaning hub, spokes, rim, and tire, will be lighter than a 26x4 hub, spokes, rim, tire. What do you think? Because Trek has come up with this new standard, which differentiates their higher-end bikes from any other fat bike. It's now 27.5 by whatever it is, 80 millimeter. I don't know exactly how wide the rims are.
Hofbrau Dunkel.
Hofbrau Dunkel.
I didn't look at what rims are they using. They're using their own rims, of course. Yeah, Bomb Trigger. So what is it? I mean, what's the what?
Yeah. I don't know how.
Yeah. But, so there's an... Is it an 80?
It's in that range, yep. For sure.
It's a Jackalope of some.
Yeah, so
my point is aluminum is lighter than rubber, so it should be lighter.
Right, but the tire's bigger too.
And that's what he says.
But here's the whole thing. Trek did it because Trek has been lagging in everything for what, 15 years now? And I just think they just decided they're just going to jump in and do that. I mean, that's my feeling on it.
Yeah, I think that they definitely, you know, once that battleship turns around and they put some steam behind it, they get some stuff moving.
Yeah.
I actually think that their 29 plus bike looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, it does look cool, but you know what? Their fat bike look cool too, and you don't see a whole lot of them around anymore.
Well, they didn't make a lot of them.
Yeah, they're still doing their entry level. Farley is still going to be a 26 inch bike, right.
And now a 197 through axle a 197 through axle with.
Why can't they just make a 200? What the hell?
They want to make
it's the metric system.
They want to make the math hard. It's the way we keep the kids off the street. Make everything a math problem.
So Chewy,
it's the reason I ride a single speed.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of single speeds, are you having an event this? Is it this weekend or next weekend? When you got an event coming up?
This Saturday. It's the 25th anniversary
of the Decorah time trials.
Yes, Decorah time trials, 25th anniversary. We've been doing this. I have not been holding butts for that long, but close.
Wow.
I looked at the map. What's the actual course distance going to be? Do you know yet?
It's like 8 point, and it's not real long because it's got a lot of climbing. It's like 8.8. It's just under 9 miles, like 8.7 or 8.9, I think.
You know, it's a good thing you said that because I was going to be like, why can't you just make it 9 miles?
Does it have like 4,000 feet of climbing in it or something?
It's 3-something, yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, it's the Furman Cup Challenge, you know, so we've kept the course exactly the same for, I believe this will be the third or fourth year, because there's a premium. If you can beat Furman's time, there's a prize. I get $250-$300 if you beat his time on top of all the other prize money and stuff.
And so, a live goat. Fatbike.com adds a live goat to that prize. I know where to get live goats.
Or maybe Carson Skinner. I don't know. We'll make do that, too. But you got to remember the history that goes in with this thing. We've got the picture of Spinner body slamming Lutz at the fire pit.
Oh,
yep.
We've got pictures of like one of the first ones when it was out at the fish hatchery, where it rained so hard that Terry Houghton went home and put on football cleats so you could run up the hill to start the race. You know, it used to be you took turns holding the riders and running and calling out the times for the starts because it really wasn't, you know, fancy organized and timing start line and finish line. It was just a bunch of people out in the woods and they go, okay, your turn to go, and then they would time you. So it's really blossomed into. It's still a local event. I mean, it's not. It's a busy weekend. There's other things going on, but at the same time, it's fun. And we always used it for. This is how riders. Let's back up a little bit. That they go by ages rather than by classifications of riders, because this is how years ago. This is how you decided which class you were going to race in, because you race against guys your own age, whether they were an expert or a sport or whatever, and that's how you decided where you were going to race that year.
I'm glad I'm not right in Ned Overend's class.
No doubt. Good thing I'm young.
Yeah, no shit. That's my class. That sucks. I don't know what he would do with that guy.
He's going to be a guest on the show next week. He's going to talk to us. He's going to talk to us about Specialized new
B-plus bikes.
Fuse and Ruse B-plus bike.
I have
with Manitou fork on there, dude.
And it's probably going to be hot pink because they might as well copy what everybody else is doing.
Oh, I believe that.
Isn't it
your boyfriend and, you know, my hero, Eric Sovereign? Doesn't he have a 100% pink Moonlander? And don't you have a matching one? Or I know you got a pink bike in there, brother.
I've got two of them. Actually, one's my wife, so we got a pink 1x1 too.
Yeah, when I met Sav, he was riding a pink 1x1, and he rode by us, and he low-fived everybody, and then he started to low-five everybody on both sides. which left no hands on the handlebars. So he stacked really hard. Like literally like
he was probably doing it on that bike, the one that I've got.
Really? So
I'm pretty sure
he like laid out flat, blam, after he like made his chin made a furrow in the middle of the trail, and he just he took the flask off his bike, passed it around, put it back on his bike, and boom, he was gone. Eric Simon.
The guy is amazing. There's no getting around it.
I know. So tall and so handsome.
But he's not the tallest surly guy, you realize.
I know. It's Andy Wood, right?
Is it Andy Wood or is it Thor? I think it's Andy. 167, 169, I don't remember
Andy,
which is which.
Andy's like 44 hands tall. I swear to God. So everybody should go to Decorah, Iowa this weekend and hang out with all the cool kids out there. If you haven't been there, then you have not mountain biked in the Midwest.
True that.
Decorah, Iowa.
And the camping's going to be awesome. They can camp. They can stay in hotels. You can, I don't know, if I can sleep. Oh, you know, you can sleep out at the Pugsley Pit. There's lots of stuff you can do. You can pass out in the streets. That might not be a good idea, but you can do it if you want to.
Stay in the bike shop window, maybe.
You know, there's
sleep in the window of the bike shop.
Yeah. Who are those
Greg,
guys?
Greg, does that sound?
It sounds like Chad or Dave or one of those guys.
There's got to be.
Were you with them too?
No, I missed on that one.
Oh, I thought it was the three of you guys because there was three guys. So remember Deke's old shop? There used to be a platform in the front window, in a little bay window, and there's a little platform. And Lutz and those guys, after going out all night, they just were trying to find a place to shop, and that's where they slept. So everybody, and that's when the race was on Sundays. So Sunday morning, everybody walking by in their church studs got these three bumps sitting in the window of the bike shop.
The little kids are like, "Mommy, can I buy the drunk guy, the drunk albino in the window?
Stick, I want to poke that guy."
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, have a good event.
All right.
Hope you have a
good talking, you guys.
Thanks, yep. Thanks for sorting out that wheel size conundrum we had. You rock, dude.
It's a piece of key. 26 by 4, that's it. Nothing else.
Chewy speaks.
Aye.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
See you guys. All right, bye. You're
We saw everybody at Seattle. Seattle was kick-ass.
And really, the B-plus bikes were the story of the show. There was a lot of stuff going on, but most of it was incremental improvements. These are actually a whole new segment that didn't exist, really.
And the B-plus full suspension dovetails in with SRAM's new boost spacing, the 148-110 spacing, and the availability of the Fox B-plus.
The Manitou Magnum.
The Manitou Magnum B-plus fork.
Looks really sweet. I got a chance to ride it in a very brief period of time, but it feels good. One of the things I think the suspension makers are starting to realize is those air volumes on the tire are big, but the pressures are low.
Right.
So they're making the forks a lot more compliant on the small bump end so that the tire doesn't have to deflect as much to get the fork moving. So I think that's a really good thing.
Seattle was a very rich environment for product blowouts and product, what do they call those? Launches. We had launches. We
had launchage.
And they served us like snacks and drinks at all of them. So,
launchage.
You know, we were very happy.
Right. So while we were out there showing the locals in Cali how we roll, what was happening here in the big city, JK?
Oh, the big city. Record store day was a Saturday, so tried to take in a like Rushmore and get down to Bayview and these kind of places.
Hipster.
Whatever. It's record store day, man.
Record store day.
You had to go in there. I know. And record stores are a personal business, so I like, it was bad.
For your vinyl collection, man.
Hey, man.
I'm telling you.
It's all right. Well, is this the first time that I've picked on you? You're looking at me like...
Wounded?
You have cut me to the quick.
You
weren't hurt.
Sacre bleu, Gomez. I am not a hipster.
Yeah, with your fuma.
I only own a couple pieces of vinyl, and I don't even have anything to play it on right now.
I don't even know what that means, other than when it relates to stickers, as I like stickers.
Hey, the vinyl ones. Guess what we got coming?
What?
Buttons.
Really? Did you order from the button place?
Yeah, because they were on sale. I'm like,
$19.
We can get buttons. I got some buttons coming.
That's kick ass. Yeah. I thought about it. I looked at it. I clicked the link.
Buttons.
But I didn't pull a trigger. You pull a trigger. Damn, boy.
I like some buttons.
But the next day I then went to Cedarburg and tried out that Ozaukee County interurban trail path that goes from there up to Port Washington.
Port Washington and points north if you want to go further.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just always would see that bridge every time you'd
That going, confounded bridge.
Oh, right. Yes, it's like, oh, I'd like to ride over the freeway like that. And finally got to do it.
Did you bring a cinder block with you?
No, they have...
Chuck out
of... No, wow. It's fenced in frustratingly well. But yeah, it's like a 20-mile loop from Cedarburg to...
Yeah.
And it's all just flat. There's not a lot of places you can go and...
Did you go know,
try to get
did
a
you go to
gnarly.
The Duluth Trading Company store there in
No, I went to Sir James Pub.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. A buddy from old Radio Days works there.
Dude, there's an old school fish restaurant there called the Smith Brothers.
I worked at Smith Brothers in Charlotte.
That's what the Duluth is.
A long time ago. There's still like a small portion that Smith Brothers.
I thought it was like over just...
Well, I ain't where it was.
No?
Okay. It was in the Duluth Trading
Post. Okay.
It used to be there, and then it was a chancery and some other shit. Now it's a...
That's where I got my aversion to rock shrimp, because it was so good, I ate like 5 pounds in one day.
5 pounds of shrimps. And
Gomez was wondering why I didn't want seafood much out in Monterey. It's like, you can blame it on the rock shrimp. We did eat pretty well out there in California.
Oh, my God. It was so strangely, it was just like, I kept on thinking, it was like, wow, it'd be really nice to bring my wife out here. Look over.
We had a little bromance while we were out there.
every waiter we had was like, what a nice older gay couple. Like, Jesus, this would be, especially like when I stopped and you went a little bit further down the beach, I stopped, I called my wife. I'm like, honey, and I got voicemail, of course. I'm like, I'm here in the beach. It's so romantic.
I can see Sven riding away now.
I waited until you were out of sight in the mist before I cheated on you with my wife.
In the mist.
Ay, caramba.
Oh, man. Well, we got word from the folks over at Salsa. Our buddy Mike sent us a note that Outside Magazine, those purveyors of all news outdoorsy related, have bestowed upon them the 2015 Gear of the Year Award for their buck saw. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you know, it could have been a carbon fiber kayak paddle, or it could have been a backpack. They probably have different segments.
Could have been the spork.
Could have been.
The titanium spork.
You know, I have my my case... hobo knife that I got from the Rocky Mountain.
They were handing out some swag
there. That was cool, man.
I gave Zito a race face t-shirt, and I brought JK a trucker hat, but apparently he does not keep on trucking. He had trucked enough.
He's trucking.
And so,
trucker clock, check in.
So apparently that'll be up to grabs in case any of you folks out there in Radio Land, remember how to dial a telephone.
818-918-2453.
That's 818-918-BIKE.
And it's also Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yeah. And you know, you can always call in to enter the Framed Best Radio Promo Contest. That's ongoing. You know, it's a long contest because it's such a fabulous prize.
It's a fab. What do they really have to do? They don't even have to call 818-918-2453 during the time we're on the air. They call just, when we're off the air, leave a radio promo. Right.
They never have to talk to anyone. You know, it would be a good idea if you remembered to leave your name and your phone number on there, because then, well, you'll actually get the prize.
Maybe
if you win, right? And, other than that, you know, if you want to do it on your smartphone and then save it as an MP3 and then email it to me, my email is gomez@fat-bike.com.
Once again, That's Gomez at fat-mike.com.
So, you know what I'd be going for is that sweet set of steak knives.
You know, and that is a name brand set of Ginsu steak knives. We'll probably buy it at some class joint like Target or something. So, you know, you'll get a gift receipt, you can return it, and I don't know.
Maybe get an iHome thing for your phone to put by your bedside.
MDMX or HDMX
or
whatever.
Or just like 1,000 ibuprofen. Whatever you can get for a set of steak knives, it's shit you're going to use.
You're going to need it.
Or some baby oil.
Maybe.
Bath salts.
Speaking of baby oil, I think we have some links this week.
Oh my God. It's the attack of the links. There's Tom McDonald. There's Tom McDonald's Anza Borrego trip. And I just, oh my God. What has gotten into JK?
JK's on some happy pills.
I think JK got some giggle juice.
It's the 7% Sculpin.
Hey, you know what we should do before we get into the links?
You stuck a 7 on me.
No.
We should probably... Beer stop.
Top of the hill. Middle of the hill.
We should probably... Yeah, we don't ever ring a bell when we're on actual rides. Zito just stops and says, anybody bring beers?
Speaking of Zito and stopping, yeah. We are going to be doing a beach ride on Saturday. If anybody's in the area, we're going to be heading up north of port somewhere to be determined. But we are riding Saturday.
Just look for the fat signal in the sky.
I'm thinking north of Harrington.
Harrington north?
And or south of Harrington, one or the other.
Yeah, good
but
call.
Either way, we'll meet at the same spot at the end of Highway D. Drive through beautiful Lake Church. Don't speed through Lake Church, because that's bad. And end up at the end of Highway D. Right before you run into the lake, there's some nice parking spots where
this
we will
This is what makes
meet.
Sven a leader of men.
I'm going to say 1 p.m. on Saturday.
1 p.m. on Saturday.
I'm just making that up.
Gird your loins, fat bikers, and join us.
Hey, speaking of Port Washington and
what does gird your loins really mean?
I don't know.
And that night at Tonga's, the exotics, the interruptibles.
Oh, nice.
So I knew there was something going on Saturday.
We ran into our buddy from Port Washington, long of Port Washington, Laurent, out at the Sea Otter.
It's about time that you like actually said his name like with the automatic French fry accent. There.
Wasn't Laurent?
Laurent.
Laurent. It's good to see you, buddy. I hope you're having fun out there in Pismo Beach is where he's living.
Yeah, that guy laughs at all my jokes.
Yeah.
I'd be huge in France.
Because he doesn't understand English.
Why do you think I'm giggling all the time?
So Pismo Beach ought to have at least one fat biker out there riding on the shore of the great Pacific Ocean.
He rode the Grand Fondo.
Fundo.
And he was talking about all these guys that he was passing, and he's just
he's a machine.
He's a trip, man.
You know, the cool thing about riding out there on the coast is that tide business, because when we were heading north, there was a lot of beach, and we were heading back, there wasn't that much left.
But you know what?
And big waves.
It pushed us way back up onto the sand that you wouldn't naturally think that is rideable, and...
It was very rideable.
I had the stable horse thing going. I was like ready to be done, and I was like, brap, I was going across that shit. It worked out well. I got caught by a sneaker wave, though. I got totally swamped.
Yeah. I saw that.
Doing a little daydreaming.
La, 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 la. Thinking about my friend Steve.
Yeah. It was not funny.
No.
Well, although I had to think, I rode away, and I'm like, oh, Sven saw that. He has to be falling off his bike laughing.
I kind of saw it coming. I'm like, what's he doing?
Does he know something I don't?
No, he knows how to get wet. I don't know how to do that.
Deedle, deedle, deedle.
It took me till like the very end, and I finally got a soaker. I'm like, dang it. I was like 98% done with the ride, and I got the foot soak.
Yeah, waves out west, they go faster. And they go taller.
They've got a long run that they do. They come way up the shore and they chase you.
Well, still, dude, that was just a killer ride. And we actually, some of the Borealis folks saw us along the beach and like yelled out to us. It was kind of cool.
We're like, who are those? They know what a fat bike is?
Like, yeah. But then we heard them say, Borealis! So
yep, like, saw what, a guy with a wolf tooth jersey on, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve, for letting us borrow those Borealis fat bikes.
True that, yo.
Yeah.
Steve's a good dude.
So, can we get, so in, can we get into those links now?
Yeah, I think we're into the links. We, I have a beer. Did we cheers? We should probably cheers again. We
always, cheers.
Bam. Bump. Oh,
cheers and beers.
Oh, Donkel Weizen, you are my best friend. No. Just kidding.
Gonna rub him and pet him.
I'm gonna drink him. Dude, Mark Peterson has it. Tell me your favorite link. I already said kind of my favorite one. I could even go on.
Mark's been a friend of the old thefatbike.com, yeah? Whatever the outdoor gangster of the month is, there's a website called outdoorgangster.com. He was the outdoor gangster.
Dude.
Of the month. It's actually a really cool story.
He's an outdoor gangster.
Right? For the month of April, 2015. Congratulations, Mark.
So this South African fat bike guided beach and dune tours, this guy got a fat bike. He lives in the great white shark and whale watching capital of South Africa, not too far out of Cape Town. So you could conceivably ride fat bike on dunes and on the beach, and then they put you in a cage and they use you as bait to draw in great white sharks. And then if you survive
great
that, then you could go out in a boat and wait for whales.
Wow.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
That sounds like somebody's thinking.
And maybe have kudu burgers for dinner. Gazelle bacon.
Did you see the off that Catalyst ride?
Yeah, yeah.
Catalyst trip.
Those ladies, yeah.
Yeah. That bike rack? That car rack? It's like the second picture down. And it has six. Wait. Yeah. Six. Six bikes.
Wow.
Able to transport.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. That's on the back of the car that. Vertical like that. You could also do that.
That's amazing.
Over the tailgate truck.
I've never seen that. That just captured my imagination.
Well, I want to have five friends with fat bikes. I probably do just have five friends with fat bikes.
Well, we're to that point in the show, I think, when we say thanks to Surly for sponsoring this experiment in radio broadcasting.
Indeed, man.
Trippy.
Surly starts it all. Surly is a fuse starter. They got the big ladder and a long fuse, and it takes the rest of the world a couple of years to catch up. What are they going to do next?
Good question. I'm pretty sure they'll tell us about it when they're damn good and ready.
When they're damn good and ready. All right.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Adios, amigos. Maybe go check out that bike thing. Throw a leg over it. Rock it out.
Crap.
What was that?
Noises from the bike.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.